would just like to propose a few amendments where it says under one opening and welcome Ms. N. Gina stood in. I would propose that we start with the chairperson was absent due to other commitments, and then Ms. N. Gina was elected to chair the meeting. And then on the next page, right at the top, end of paragraph 2.4, it says, proposes that the committee should have internal discussions where members may raise their opinions, particularly after every meeting. I would like us to raise that in the meeting, so if we could change that meeting to presentations. And then 3.5, I see there is a question mark. I think it was the report on the budget and strategic plans of the National Skills Fund and the National Skills Authority. That question mark could be replaced with authority. Thank you very much, sir. With that, I'm happy. And become then an internal process between I'm assuming that we're talking about the additional report, we're talking about investor free land. Investor of KwaZulu-Natal, my apologies. I know that we have received the report. I would propose that we deal with it differently. And my firm proposal is that we schedule a meeting. We have somebody coming to speak to the report, presenting the report, so that the committee can interact with the report and do a way forward. I think it's going to be difficult to. I don't have it in front of me now. So if I remember very well, sometime that we got it, and there's quite a few serious things that would need the attention both of the committee and the department. So I therefore propose that we schedule a meeting, have somebody come to report, we interact with that report.
All that happened between then and now, but we never acted on the issue. All we should do is to act on the resolution and ensure that the meeting for the committee and we engage on it. I think we agreed. I think the report must be presented by the author, and by the rest must also be covered, because they might have issues that they would like to contest. In the media. So if they are both present, they'll have the opportunity to put their side of the story in this report, or whatever discrepancies they suggest exist in the report. As I agreed, I'm sure maybe it's just a matter of saying months after the next 3 weeks we're having hearings, after that the next power time. On 2.3, perhaps it might be necessary to clarify the meeting. Personally, I was not happy for that meeting, but my understanding would be that a meeting that never corrected is a non-meeting, and therefore you don't cause the next meeting to necessarily adopt the meaning of a few honorable members. But it was said that there is some consultation needed to be done so that the meeting gets a common understanding on what should happen. And I never thought we needed that kind of. I thought it's obvious, but I've not seen that it's an obvious that it was in the meeting.
Well, we're likely to do that, and we can call this here. In terms of parliamentary rules, if a meeting is incorrect, you can continue and discuss, but you can't take back the decision. That's what I know. Okay.
Let's clarify it, what it means. We meet, we take decisions, but they are not binding. So what?
I think that suppose you've called the department for a board to come in and that half of you are absent for some reason or the other. Now the rules suggest that the chairperson must stay in the meeting for some time to allow the possibility of the meeting to be correct. And if that waiting does not help, then the chairperson might decide that the meeting must discontinue, or the meeting may continue. But the meeting may engage in deliberation, but may recommend to a fully constituted meeting without having to take definite decisions. In fact, we can make observations on particular issues and recommend that a decision be taken by the committee in respect of the following. And that has got to be ratified in the subsequent properly constituted meeting. So you have got two options. You can discontinue or continue, knowing that you may not take final decision in that meeting.
Okay.
I guess it also responds to what Honorable Makhubele said, because that my understanding, which may be wrong, of course, has been that you can take decisions. They are subject to ratification by a meeting that is correct. Because otherwise there would be no value in meeting. You may as well just disperse. But I'm also trying to draw a line between meetings where we are going to have, for example, presentations, or just a meeting of the committee. So the understanding has always been, and I think that because we had argued, we had said that we would go and refer so that we have something very definite on what should be done. It shouldn't be a gray area.
It is tribe law now that we cannot hold meetings where we don't permit the public to observe. And it is there's the practice in some committees in parliament that they would have a formal meeting where the public could attend, including the media and so on. And sometimes that means they'll have a committee meeting, where they will take decisions in the absence of, and I understand that now in terms of the legal jurisprudence, that is a bit inappropriate. Whatever discussions that we have as a committee of parliament, it should permit the public to be in, unless there are such matters that affect national security and so on, which not to have the public in attendance. Now, that means, as a committee, when you are faced with issues that must deal with, you might have to engage with the presentation and engage in discussions in that platform. You know, have different argument bias on an issue until you come to finality on any aspect of the matter.
The idea is not, when I say presenting, I'm not assuming that other people can attend, but I'm saying, for example, we say it's a meeting of a briefing by so and so, and in those cases we have said, but we can't send these people away, let them present, and we have accepted that. And the other thing has always been, during presentations you ask questions for clarification and all those things, and then you have a report of that meeting. And that, but I'm saying there are times when we are just faced with an agenda. And I think that's where then the question of the quorum becomes even more important. We raise the bar there. But I'm saying that what was in dispute here was, do we continue take decisions like you had suggested, and then go and present them to a properly constituted meeting for ratification? But there were also views that no, it's actually, Honorable Makhubele used the word, it's a non-meeting. And because it's a non-meeting, you can't even present, you know, it's like people chatting. You can't present such discussions anyway. So we have said just we must clarify ourselves by going to check what the rules are saying. Are we correct to say, no, we can discuss, we take decisions, those decisions become recommendations, until adopted by a full quorum meeting.
Sir, I think the slight difference here will be that if such a scenario where people continue to present for whatever reason, which I understand, the chance people fly from far away and so we can't just say we just correct government. That meeting goes ahead. Presentations are made and members are clarified on various issues. In the next meeting, the matter is reintroduced. Then that briefing is given to say this is the actual issue and so on. So everybody understands what is going on and what is, and therefore we arrived at this. So the matter is sort of renewed and the meeting engages on it as if it's a new matter altogether and arrives at the same decision or not. So that's my understanding.
But you don't come and as if it's mini. And then say, we met and there was these issues and therefore in adoption, they were adopted and that's it. Because then it undermines the next meeting, and that other meeting did not even correct. You can present matters like that. But when you correct it like we're doing now, even when we were not present, some of us, you understand if the meeting corrected, they had a right to arrive at that level. If you want to change it, to me, happen to raise the matter differently, you know, and then cause the meeting to be convinced otherwise. But you understand that that meeting was within its own right to arrive at any decision binding to any other members of the meeting. So we can deal with that decision. But wherein it was just a mere discussions and briefings, the next meeting got more right than that other meeting that night. So you need to present the issues in a manner that is a new matter altogether, and you can arrive at any other decision. You can't say those resolutions were binding, and you can't even regard them as real resolutions. It was not a meeting that created. But as to whether the proposal is a resolution, the recommendation, it can assume any interpretation. All I'm saying is, I thought members here, when they raised this issue, perhaps they thought there was confusion in how matters are presented. You may present them as if it was a fully fledged meeting, and therefore the next meeting is just adopt, you know. And I thought it's a different case if the meeting was not fully constituted as we would understand it to be correcting and so on.
Well, I think we are in agreement insofar as I see. You are correct, all of you, to see that. And I'm quoting the rules as the city say, and what rule, the rules, rule 133, it says, a majority of the members of the committee constitute a quorum, subject to rule 2. Sub rule 2 then says, a committee may proceed with business irrespective of the number of members present, but may decide a question only if a quorum is present. When a committee, that is sub-rule 3, when a committee has to decide a question or a quorum is not present, the member presiding may either suspend business until the quorum is present or adjourn the meeting. Now, in our practice, we've always done that. We are also very careful that we as members of the parliament use the principle of free speech and debate in the House and in our committee, and in influencing the executive. For instance, we as Parliament may not, in a meeting, determine a program of action for the Department of Health Care Administration, but we will influence that decision. As we reflect to them, we say, no, the targets are too low, you know. Are not satisfied, and in doing so, they go back and they do the proper thing, and are doing perfectly well. And those are not binding parliamentary resolutions, for instance. They are debate between the committee and the department. Because one, we need to have a resolution that definitely has got to be taken to the department. Obviously, we must require to have a report taken to the House, then it must be adopted. It comes a parliamentary resolution that is on the House, and that has got to influence the executive. But we have got a way in which, as a committee, we really see things happening for the betterment of society and how we engage with our stakeholders. However, we are all correct when we say it is beneficial not to disperse, but to continue. You hear whomever has been called before you, and to reflect on the report and I mean the presentations, and you know that influences and shapes the thinking of the executive in terms of how you think they must improve performance. So you can make observations. I really enjoy referring to those observations, because when you are debating in the committee or in the House as members of parliament, and it is also
enshrined in the rules. You have got freedom of speech and debate. So I as a chairperson cannot choose a member of this committee to engage in a debate in a matter that is presented. I'm bound to allow every member to speak his or her mind, because that's the nature and purpose of parliament. And then the fact that we also found various parties. Now, it is only when we want to take a definite position, where now you agree that you want to take a definite decision, where you can think of a quorum. But in terms of engaging with stakeholders, Dr. Kobo will have a perspective that he holds to strongly. He must be permitted to engage with it, and it does influence how we then approach the issue and so on.
I think, Chair, we must agree that irrespective of whether decisions or recommendations have been made, a quorate meeting must ratify. And then we must not limit ratification only to accepting what was decided then, but it must extend to changing that decision if needs be. Then I'm sure we will have we'll be reaching from one and the same page. Thanks.
and I'm thinking that we'll be waiting for feedback. The thing which I thought we need to do ourselves proactively was to engage with our German counterpart to ascertain the availability and preparedness to engage us during that period so that we could show that on our side we are ready. We should not think that the international affairs would be as keen as we are ourselves to ensure that this becomes a success. So we must be proactive.
Just agree now that this if one became a party. I'm just interested, man. What led to the decision that must be taken around December? There wouldn't be any earlier date besides that, because I know very well that in September we had a stream of work in relation to the PRR report that must be able to deal with. But I'm just trying to check maybe after the PRR report, before December. The reason that I'm saying this, Chair, is that I think around about December will be when to our constituency period and probably closer to the leave. Some of us, we've got some very responsibilities that, you know, are already, you know, being saved in advance. You must remember the first week of December is a Wednesday week, and within our constituencies, we've got programs, a yearly program that we also conduct. So I'm trying to check so that we must be able also to clarify, you know, such kind of issues.
So, one thing that I may indicate is I was advised that if the days of a talk are within the period when Parliament is in plenary, it will be disapproved. And that if an approval must be done, it must be done by the chief group, and so on and so on. Now, the only likely period for you to undertake an international talk will be when the country says either to do constituency work or some other business oversight and so on. Now, the dates are influenced by the fact that September, October, you're going to be dealing with the polls and also analyzing the performance of the department, the entities attached to. So September will might be very busy. Now the debate was that if you lose even December, then forget this financial year. You must start thinking about the other financial year. That was the reasoning for the committee to suggest that even if it's the first week of December, let's make sure it happens. That was the context.
I tend to have a problem with the programming of Parliament and also with the people who make the approval. I don't care who is. Irrespective if it's the President himself, I would have a very serious problem. If other committees will be given approval during sittings, people go to Brazil, go wherever, and find ourselves as number one key priority of this country, high education and training. Not just any other country, high education and training, which plays an important role in this country. And within the five key priorities, having even the president, people will find them having problems in approving to ensure that we set up a standard for all South Africa. Because if that would be the whole tendency, I would really have a very serious problem. Because that would simply mean we must be able also to bring all people that are involved to come and explain to us how do they go and extend to approve other committees. You see? I'm really flabbergasted by this thing. Because it becomes a tendency. Last financial year, it was a very same thing. It took people who went to Germany and all, I mean, to Brazil and all that stuff. This financial year, just now, they approved other committees. They went to these other countries. But this particular committee has been denied access. No? It doesn't present a real factor of this thing. And if ever as a committee, we don't want to take this very seriously. Well, let's just assess ourselves in the end of our term whether we have been able to implement and come with very serious changes in terms of the higher education system. Instead, I'm just presuming we'll remain with the very same system of higher education and training and will continue to fail this country as a fellow community.
I hear what one of the members is saying. I'm one of those who just come back from Brazil and Venezuela, and I can assure you it was not during the sitting of the House. It was not because our program, you know, there are times when Parliament is open, but it's return committees. That's the time scheduled for those things. I don't know why we didn't choose one of those things, because we could have. But personally, I don't want to go away when Parliament is in session. Like the chairperson said, it can be done. It can be done, but they raise the bar in terms of where it can be approved. But I can tell you personally, I would be very reluctant to go anyway. In fact, my party would not be very happy at all that I go away when Parliament is in session.
No, I agree that. There's no problem with approval of our trip. I think I must insist on this one. The issue is that we approved, we could have gone to Germany and we could have gone to see the people of Germany and never met the we had to understand that they have closed the other side. In fact, they want to take us to their homes and teach about their culture, but we may not have achieved our strategic imperative. And I think our treaty remains approved until we get a proper date. I think that is the issue that I think we should insist on and say that we will definitely accomplish this aspect of our program. We will not see Germany. We will definitely meet the people of Germany and see their proper education system and assist South Africa.
Can I just clarify here? Honorable Co-Woman, not misquote me. I never said I want this portfolio committee to go during the parliamentary session. I'm saying there was a time, if you remember around January, there were portfolio committees when it was committee week. There were portfolio committees that were approved to go around that time. And we planned, scheduled to go around that time. But at the stage, we were denied access to go. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying supposed to go during parliamentary session. Please, just understand me that. I'm just trying to clarify this matter to say, because the thing is, where we that are given a certain access were blocked because it's being said, Parliament won't have enough money for us to go. Those are one of the reasons that we mentioned. Many portfolio committees are going out, so we cannot go. Those are the reasons.
Let's not openly debate the issue of study power. I know that when I met with the chairperson of the House, it was also indicated that they avoid the situation where we can find South Africa being abroad all of it. And I think I agree to that perspective from my angle of being a licensed system, but I know that we will definitely achieve this aspect of our program. The second bench of management.
Correct.
The single tree. I wonder whether it is not possible to separate the two because they are not related. I can explain what I'm talking about. Look at the on page 2. You have a composition of the delegation, and then you have the university, and then you go to page 3. Then you have the one for the Indlela one. And then somewhere you get a paragraph on the University of Limpopo, you go ahead, you get a paragraph on Indlela. I don't necessarily disagree with the content. The content is okay, I'm satisfied with it. Whether it is not possible for us to separate, even if the other one is A, the other one is B, the date may be okay. So that there is a flow in the reading of the report.
Then, in our report, then, we have to have a I really feel
our report on the University of Limpopo. We will not carry the necessary weight until we have spoken to everybody. I know that we have gone there under the impression that would meet the SRC of the university, not of the campus. It has not happened. And there are things that were said by those who left. We don't know what the other SRC would say. The same with the union. But also, if the inspection and local that we did will mean anything, you mean that's the same with the other campus. So I don't know what we are going to do, whether we'll do a report with some kind of footnote or disclaimer to say, but this we have not touched this one. And the question would still be, if we go to Parliament and say, these are our recommendations, the question would be, why don't we just finish the lake?
I think there are things that remain unanswered. It is as we met it. Like, others would claim that former President on his own was viable. Others would claim Chatsworth is now more viable than the other. And I'm just giving that as an example. There are even others that pointed, disputed either figure or whatever information. And we don't seem to have a way of verifying that. And if you have to recommend to Parliament anything, how do you do it? On which basis do you say, this is our report, this is our findings, when some of the findings did not lead us to verifying exactly what is happening? It's perfectly accurate. When going to the other councils, fine, yes, on some of those, but there are others that you will still be sitting with. Even after we might have gone to work institution. My point is, what is our mechanism to verify that? Because even that has to do with the department. The department has moved to saying this will be demerger and whatever, on whatever basis they have. We are on our own fact finding mission, which we did. But where there are these issues, how do you finally say this to them? This is who we serve. If, for instance, others say the sale of land to the tune of 4 million, another comes and says, we don't know of that. This has made it clear to them, no real sale. But others would say, tell you, no, somebody called to say, deposit this money in this account. It's for this sale of land. Do we have any mechanism to break that, you know, and get to the bottom of the matter? Or we must just live with what either those in authority tell us.
Just a follow up on that, my colleague said. I think to use a Shakespearean expression, we came and we saw, but we did not conquer. So we report on what we saw and heard. Hence, when we recommend to the department on the basis of what we saw and heard, then the department will then take up those matters, verify, investigate, and do the rest, you know. And that's how I look at it, you know.
Slightly differently. As we look at the report, we may just have to analyze those areas where there were disputes of fact. I don't know whether it is the department where we can say to them there is an allegation that Walala Wasala was sold, denied, and we are not sure whether the denier is enough for us to say no land was sold. We say to the department, please go and verify and give them time to come back as well. In fact, there was the issue of, you know, Medusa was in the raid and the other one said, no, Tesla was in the raid. We can just simply, because it also goes to the core of the decision to do a demerge. If indeed Medusa was not economically viable, then the decision to demerge
must be accompanied by some kind of undertaking that there will be funds to support that man, to support the new medium. So maybe to go through the report, we can just identify those areas to say, you know, we get different, I'm not sure it's the department, but it is the department. We say, please go and verify, supply us with the information. By the time we are ready to go to Parliament, we shall have met the Department of Health. Hopefully, we shall have also met the other parties of the other campus. We shall also have received the feedback to say, no, this is the true fact.
Reflected in the report so that we adopt from time to time.
If there are any corrections that members want to correct, let's do that.
My initial, AM.
To have all the initials of all the members, because I think then we must perhaps give it to the committee secretary, because I think there are more of us that have more than one first name.
You have already whispered that to me. If members so wish, then we can do that afterwards, because your identity must be reflected in the manner you prefer.
Legislation inherent in that, maybe that of public participation or facilitation of that, but whether one to take it included or want to highlight it separately, I know that in terms of Parliament overall, our task is making laws. As well as we know that within that process you will get public participation, you still highlight it as a major issue of what you conduct. So I think on that we can advise each other to what you that we want to do. On the institutions that account to us, that we actually mentioned every sitter, all the 21 almost, and what they do. I don't know whether it's like sectors and are responsible for respective sectors for which they represent, that would have done as a good service and so on. But whereas we have done that with CETA, with universities and FET colleges, we did not necessarily go all out mentioning any or all of them individually, other than mentioning CHEP. So I'm not sure whether if we take the approach of mentioning one by one, why in terms of universities and colleges we did not necessarily say because they just about those which account to us, not whether we met them or did not necessarily mention. And all those that we met, because it's reflective of the class, you still have got TBC. Like on page 7, on some of the dates it will be saying TBC there. TBC to me will be referring to be confirmed or something like that. Yeah, but it says 22 June. Well, in terms of the minute. It will be changed thereafter. And the rest of these other discussions, they take first, are they also for the 20th and 26th May? No, there are no other dates between page 8 to page 12. I think we'll look at that if anything to be corrected, I think. process term, I've undergone sex change. If you were to look at my...
Ask under three, what are the mandate of the committee? I know that many parliamentary committees have got some input to give regarding the appointment of candidates to entities, but I'm not sure if that applies to this committee. I've gone through the list of entities listed, and with my limited knowledge, I couldn't identify any entity where this committee, you know, recommends to the minister or would have ever to conduct interviews to make recommendations or anything like that. So I was just wondering, I know it applies to many of the other committees to serve on trade and industry, and then we had interviews for the National Lotteries Board and so on. But I was just wondering whether you might consider having to take out that reference. Thank you.
Power.
that when we appoint the Parliament of Chinese officers or the ad hoc committee constituted by Parliament and all that was an infection administration. Now, given the work that is done by universities, given the work done by FETs, with the CITAS and so on, do we think there is a definite appointed role that the committee must play? And I think that, that is kind of advice the sort of legislation we make from now on, if we think that is necessary, something that the committee can act on and justify. To make such a determination at the appropriate time. I think that explains that aspect. If there is in the future, we think, look, appointing a council, maybe we think Parliament must have recommendatory powers to the minister. That can be looked at at the appropriate time. Yes,
indirectly also, Chair, through legislation, we do have that mandate, because when it comes to council qualification, whether it's appointed by the minister, by the act or the bill comes to us to give that, indirectly. Coming before you and the basic variety of this could be some help approach.
do more than the administrator. Others want anything than the administrator. So sometimes we engage the stakeholder just by a call to help to awaken the development in the area. And we must have that a good proposal that will sharpen our perspectives of this process. Because I'm imagining that you have got 3 weeks to deal with the public hearing, but you only got one submission which you can deal with in 1 day or on next Wednesday of people or 2 weeks. The professor Amor wants to come to us. He is the only person that we have on the table for this amendment that we have. And the High School of Africa, as an institution, not even a single principal of an institution, not even a student structure of the high teaching, not even a person from the community.
Thank you, Chair. I was immediately concerned about the lack of response also in terms of the initial advertisement of the bills. And you will know that SATU was the only union that responded to it. I took the liberty of contacting SATU and I've spoken to Mr. Makole, who is a researcher, who wrote their response. He's also forwarded their response to me. And I've encouraged SATU to come and make use of this opportunity to be part of the public hearing. I've contacted some of the other unions as well, Solidarity, Naptusa, and so on. And some of them complained that they received the bills very late. And it was also over the Easter season. You know, it was Easter weekend, it was 27th of April and 1st of May. When many people go on holiday, that they had to comment on this. I think they just slipped there. And it concerns me seriously because, especially as we've heard from the advocate last week, even, I don't know if it's feel of but he, you know, the fact that the lecturers at the FT colleges will now fall under the Public Service Act and no longer have the benefits but also then the obligations that go with being an educator. It is a dire change for those people. I'm not certain if our colleges will be able to compete in the open labour market if their staff now also need to be, you know, at their places of work for 40 hours a week, etc. I think it can also have management implications because people have expected of lecturers to prepare and mark papers after hours, and people might quite easily now say, well, I'm going to work like an office worker now. Also, many of our colleges don't have the necessary office space for people to have offices to work and mark papers, etc. And I would very much like to encourage all the other members of the committee to also see if they can solicit more response and more input into this legislation before we have to consider this. Thank you. I don't know how much time do we have in this issue of the bill, but if possible, if the department can be able to extend the date of closing date, and try to, you know, push again, and ensure that there's further more communication to the relevant branches that's supposed to participate. I remember when we went to one of our guys visiting Limpopo, there was that concern for that proposal that also, you know, went through this. And those that it is, you know, really serious concerns of which, you know, others also proposed to want to put in some amendments in the field. I remember one to the principal of what are the FET, the one that you adopted. So, I
don't know if possible that can, you know, be re-advertised and further communicated. There's a thing. Not just use one sector of media communication, but try and use the other various other media so that you can be able to communicate better with this information.
What I'd like to interesting now is an incident we had with the dental technicians amendment bill. Many years ago was the dental technicians amendment bill before Parliament. It's a bill that drew no public interest. And it was before the Constitutional Court, and the court said, well, if you put a public participation as Parliament and you get no response, what are you going to do as Parliament? And we must remember that our constitutional obligation is to facilitate. The word in the Constitution, it says, we must facilitate public involvement. So if, for instance, in the Dental Technicians Amendment Bill, the court said it was, for lack of a better word, a boring piece of legislation, nobody was interested, it related to a small, minute dental auxiliary service, and for that, Parliament was then justified to proceed with not having the actual hearings because there was no response to the ads in the newspapers. Now, if we take the converse of that, what I'm hearing here this morning is that members are saying this is a highly contentious issue. We've only received one submission from the public, and the alarm bells are going off to the extent that do we proceed and what do we do now? Now, members are also saying that SATU and other unions have had opportunities to be part of the consultative process, and it was a very short process from April. I think I need to say that is not the parliamentary process. That's not what we're talking about this morning. You will look in the memorandum of the objects of both bills. At the back, it will say consultation, and the department, the executive, will say that what they consulted with. But that's not what we're dealing with here. This consultation is our parliamentary consultation process. So what the executive has done, that's out of our hands. That process, we cannot go back to that process because the bill is now before Parliament. That process happens before the bill comes to our front door. So when the bill is introduced and tabled, it's now in a legislative factory. It's no longer in the executive factory. And so we now have to ensure that we comply with our constitutional mandate to facilitate public involvement. Now, I also need to state that in the aftermath of this constitutional court judgment, the Legal Services Office was mandated to embark on a study tour. And we visited various countries throughout the world. The countries that I went to were Singapore, Australia, New Zealand. And particularly in the Australia section, what was very interesting on public participation was that the very issue before this committee, to what extent do we have to go to satisfy ourselves that we have led to the public on this bill, that we have given them sufficient. Now, what is clear from the Constitutional Court judgment is public participation is not a one-size-fits-all. So, as a standard rule in Parliament, we have adopted a way going forward that we put an ad in the paper, we invite people to come in, we get a response, and we go forward. That is our standard practice at Parliament. But that's not cast in stone. Because maybe people didn't read the ad, maybe it went out late. So if the committee this morning feels that, yes, we did get one submission in, but we don't necessarily feel comfortable that proceeding with only the one submission, nothing would stop this committee from taking a decision to say, let's write to higher education institutions, let's write to FED colleges, let's address them on one-on-one and say, as a committee, we have called for public submissions. In your chance that you have not seen the advertisement, these bills are before Parliament. We would really welcome your input. And then perhaps after that process, if nothing happens, then we are comfortable and satisfied that we have complied, but we have received no response. And then we would be able to stand up against any constitutional court challenge down the line to say, well, we've had our adverts placed. We've written to these people or these institutions one-on-one. We received no response. We then found it justified to proceed as a committee to have our deliberations, to vote into the report and to send it to the next House of Parliament. But that's only my view. I'm not a committee member. I do not make a decision for this committee, but I hope that the members can at least extract value from the comments that I made. Thank you.
Before we debate, you can as well have last week when the department was here, some of us raised questions which we thought are very crucial for the particularly the notice that was released by the president in determining the Department of Higher Education and Training and the Basic Education. Now, I noticed that there are various pieces of legislation that still refer to the Department of Education. The Minister of Education.
necessary for the portfolio committee to advise the department that it is not natural that a reference to the Department of Education is the new department. It would mean that there must be legislative amendment to that effect, so that is reflected in those pieces of legislation. What is your take on that, so that the members are empowered in the discussions with the department and the court has said they come? Secondly, we raised the issue just to understand where that manus being a structure that was working for both basic education and higher education. I'm raising this from the context that the Auditor General raised concerns in one of the briefings with me that in terms of financing, nobody seems interested to fund Manus, but everybody seems to like their work. Higher education does not want to fund anything, they just see them as a body that they can source some savings and so on. And it lies all those vagaries who thought they needed to be clarified clearly and openly so that in the long run we should not have a forgotten son of this big family, you know, unattended to, which is Manus. I don't know the other aspect of the list by my colleagues in that meeting, which
what is the implication in the case where we push back if we say we're pushing it back? Other stakeholders to participate on the state they want to link for the 24 hours. So you may have to email them to the first half, but you can't guarantee that they will have ensured that by close of business tomorrow. Because it depends on how they work. Some of them can do that as authorities, as professors, individuals. Some of them are structured in the sense that before they complete anything out, there should be some mandate drawn within. That's how they operate. So if you give them 12 hours, they can't convene a management meeting and so much have to receive the phone and do something tomorrow. It may not be possible, practical, possible for them to do. So I'm just saying, for us to consider them participate, to be fair on our part and realistic in terms of the time we have, we may need to extend that, say, by a week. And then undertake that process we're doing now. And then I would want to understand the situation.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. The first issue that you raised in connection with the current terminology in some of the legislation that's already goes through departments and the Minister of Education, I share your sentiment. Having looked at Proclamation 44/2009, which is the proclamation which sets out which legislation is the competence of the Minister of Higher Education and the competence of the Minister of Basic Education, it's quite clearly set out in the schedule. And Umalusi is one of the pieces of legislation split between the two ministers. Now, having looked at the Umalusi legislation, it's quite clear that the intention hasn't been placed in Umalusi. Last year, 2010, with former Achebes and Fransman, we went through amendments in consequential amendments in light of the 2009 proclamation. We went through the same process with basic education. Basic education is now finishing up another ball. And this is the second wave, the higher education amendment and the further education training colleges amendment bill before the committee. It's the second wave of the impact of apply competence, which is now dependent on the 18th constitutional amendment. And that's a slightly different issue, but that's cleaning up, but also the wave effect of the 2009 proclamation. But I, Chairperson, particularly on the Umalusi thing, the consequential amendments that needed to be taken up with the Umalusi Act hasn't happened. And I think, Chair, that my advice to the committee would be that Umalusi is a joint competence between higher education and basic education. So perhaps the two portfolio committees would want to take the matter further, and they may be addressing a letter from the chairpersons of the two committees to both ministers to say that Umalusi is a joint competence, part of the force for basic education, part of none of your departments are bringing forward legislation that helps the situation of Umalusi. Can we please get your indication on this, in which Parliament would possibly be looking at a legislative proposal, and which we are entitled to do, to if there's no movement from either of the departments on the issue of the Umalusi. But also the issue of funding, I think that would also have to come up between that kind of consultation and facilitation processes between the departments and ministers and the portfolio committees. Coming to the issue of the extending the public hearing deadline, I think that the effect of that has two pillars. I think the one pillar is legal, and the one pillar is programming. Now, I've gone through the legal aspect, and I say that I particularly am a type of person, I'd rather be safe than sorry. I always go that route, and so when we tread cautiously, we're always on the safe path. Then I sit here this morning and say, oh, don't do that. And we, at the end of the day, we're sitting with egg on our face. So the legal aspect, I would say there's nothing wrong with it. I would say it's a safer aspect. Programming and committee-wise, I'm not sure what the parliamentary, that's out of my jurisdiction. I think that would have to be through the programming side of Parliament and the committees to see whether that can be facilitated in the programming. But legally, I don't foresee any problems with extending a deadline for public participation.
Chair, may I also ask, as the advocate has quite rightly referred to, the one act that is in front of us require a constitutional amendment. By the way, I thought it was the 19th amendment, but I may be incorrect. My question is also regarding the public participation for that amendment. Who takes the responsibility for that process, and who will consult with the public and listen to the public on that issue? Because my impression is that this committee is only focusing on the two amendment bills in front of us. But I'm afraid that something affecting the Constitution will also have to have the opportunity for that sort of consultation. And I haven't seen that happening. Is it our responsibility? If so, please advise. Thank you.
Committee overall. So amendment impacts indication both higher and basic, because this is the amendment in the schedule which is now going to set the national competence for colleges. It's only going to make schools, basic education, a joint competence between provincial and national. So my view is that it spans across three portfolios, not two. It spans justice, basic, and higher. And perhaps maybe we want to have a joint meeting with the Justice Committee when they are engaging on this process, when they are going out to the public participation process. Because it impacts on education, it may be a constitutional amendment, but the substance is an educational substance. And I think that's once again a matter which I think the committee could take forward.
By the time
the 3 months left, we have wanted all of them, then we can request for some further day another display that we cannot finish them. The way I've seen this committee working, but there is a little bit of overtime missing. When it's given a time, if it's able to do it. So even if this hall is full of people who have got different inputs to make, I think we'll listen to them and hear what they've got to say. But those are the amendments are not so many. I don't think a person will come with excesses when they only deliver about 4 sections. So we'll be able to hear the stakeholders. All who are interested in, they must know that we are undertaking this process and they must come forward. That's what I see. No, that's fine. On the other aspect of contacting the other portfolio committee on human rights, we'll do so. We'll meet with the other portfolio committee to look at it. We should also amend that act because it relates to this collaboration and apparently this has been done. So those aspects are very key to look at for us to fulfill our task. So that nobody must laugh at us in the future. There was a portfolio committee. I apparently don't know what is legislative intervention, whether proclamations put in two departments, the act still remains the same. Like in the judiciary, if you check, you found that the name of a court is not relevant to this profession that we are in, because amendments will not be made by amendment bodies to affect that. I know that issue. So, I'm on that background. So, in our area, let me seem to be the very kind of committee, point out the challenges, have the department addressing them in good time, so that we are seen as a committee that knows each other. I think this therefore brings us to the end of the meeting. I should thank the members for their participation and ask them to go and get more study all the aspects of the amendment with all the starting with the proclamation 44. Coming on is next month, bring the act today. You must be having a copy in front of you.